And do you know how many people would probably, like, run away at the sight of dismembered legs?
Yeah. Dude, there's a 4-foot bong and a bag of wheat by your bed.
Chili Wings, the parlor game for nerds, is nearing extinction.
It's in my pot! It's in my pot!
I will find proof.
I'm very easily startled, Mr. Fingerman. I don't know which regulation body would regulate the penis ring that you were talking about earlier.
I'm ready to remain conscious as we record this show.
Hey, welcome to Medical Stuff. My name is Mark Frankham, and that is Chris. If I can't kiss chickens, what am I going to do on Saturday night, Finkston? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just really, like, your chicken sound was pretty spot on. Like, it was banging, man. Like, I was sitting there. I'm like part of me was like, the very beginning had your voice in it, but by the time you got to the end of it, it was mm-hmm. almost as though someone laid a sound effect right over the top.
Right. No, that's good. That's all me, baby.
Yeah. That was really good. All right. Well, that's toast.
So,
that's...
Yeah. We're not going to top that this episode, so
I got to stop. You know, I'm going to lay off that joke now for a while. I think I hit that joke up all the time. That's toast, and just stop the podcast. We're done. But I don't know. But sometimes I feel like we say enough. Sometimes I feel like there's a certain group of our listeners that if we ever actually ended an episode that way, they'd be like, best episode ever. That was hilarious.
We get a number of people asking what that's about. And I tell them that we aren't going to tell anybody because once we tell them the real reason, it's so lame, it's actually going to hurt the show.
Yeah. Well, and
there's no real funny story behind it.
One of our listeners at our agency actually figured it out.
What?
Yeah.
Who's that?
One of their supervisors.
They put that together, that odd fucking reference?
Well, we were having another conversation. Right. And I'm not going to talk about what that conversation is, but we were referencing something else. And then all of a sudden, they started going through the scene in their head, and they look at me and they go, that's why you do it. And I just kind of smiled, and I'm like, uh-huh. And that was it. So, yeah, mm-hmm. one person has figured it out. So, the rumor's out there, man. It might get out. I think he's going to keep it close to his vest. Aren't you, Andrew? But anyway.
We know where you work.
Yeah. I'm actually going to beep out his name so people don't hound him.
Huh.
But, yeah, so.
337 again, huh?
Weird.
So this episode is going to be chicken kissing or not chicken kissing.
Well, so it's funny. I told Mark that I would do the prep for this week on one condition, and that is that we name the episode Chicken Kissing. So if you guys...
And what was my response?
Yes.
That's where I was going with it anyway.
Right, no problem.
I thought that was a done deal.
Right. So turns out I really didn't even need to bargain. So if you guys remember in our vaping episode, I talked about... I've been perusing headlines. Actually, I'm not sure if that was on air or off air. But anyway, I've been perusing headlines. And one of the headlines was that the CDC is advising people to not kiss or cuddle their chickens or ducks.
Or eat with them.
Or eat with them. Yeah.
Now, you can eat them with proper preparation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine.
But no inviting them to the dinner table with you.
Yeah. So...
Excuse me. Chris is excited this week.
Anyway, before we get too far into chicken kissing, I do want to give a quick update on the vaping episode that has actually garnered a lot of attention from you guys. So currently, as it stands on this 9/22 of 2019, the CDC has increased the number of cases to the mid-500s. I want to say that's up from the high threes or low fours from when we did the vaping episode. Deaths are up to 6. Some running theories in the medical community include the presence of vitamin E, possibly creating an issue with tissue in the lungs, leading to inflammation and pulmonary edema. The CDC has yet to provide a reason or cause. However, pundits citing anonymous sources say that the CDC is focusing in on THC and CBD-based products, as well as products with high nicotine content and non-commercially produced e-liquids.
The E is very important.
It is very important that we call it an e-liquid.
I know. It's just a liquid.
No.
It's not digitized.
It is an electronic liquid.
It's not. It's not digitized.
Yeah. But anyway, but no, so I saw this article.
Well, you said last week that you were Googling modern or headlines in medical headlines, right?
Yeah, current. Oh, fuck.
Current medical trends.
Yeah, no, just like current medical news, something like that, or recent medical news. And this one just popped up. And actually, it's kind of funny. This actually wasn't like the top article. I might have made it sound like it was, but it wasn't. I ended up doing pretty much the opposite of what I wanted to do. And I just found the most obscure article I could that made me laugh. And that is what today's episode is based on. And yeah, so what ended up happening was that while investigating a salmonella outbreak involving about 180 people, 33 of which were actually hospitalized, the CDC discovered that the disease was occurring in people who had chickens and in some cases ducks. And these were not your ordinary make me some eggs or I'll turn you into nuggets chickens. These were chickens. These chickens were pet chickens. Mm-hmm. So according to NPR, over the past 10 years, there's been a boom in backyard poultry in the United States. And while the CDC may view chickens as potential vectors of disease, a growing clutch, shouldn't that be cluck of chicken owners?
Jesus.
A growing clutch of chicken owners views them as family pets. And that's weird to me. I mean, I know we're going to have listeners here and be like, but I like chickens.
Well, the problem is that a lot of people, I don't think, because as soon as I saw this, I was like, yeah, you shouldn't do this. Just chickens carry. You can get very sick from a chicken.
Chickens are dirty animals. They are mm-hmm. dirty, dirty animals.
Dirty little bird.
I went the same way with that. I can't.
So naughty.
Now I just imagine you holding a chicken and you just kind of booping it on the nose with your finger going, naughty bird.
No, no dirty naughty bird. Little dirty chicken.
Yeah, this is probably going to go with the intro alongside with the last thing. Dirty chicken. I want people.
No. I was going to say, wait to see if Spencer requests it.
The intro is about 40 seconds long, and I just want people to really know what they're getting into right off the bat.
Oh, no. That way, when people complain, we can say, look, you knew.
Yeah.
You heard the intro.
Look, okay. If you click that button that said skip intro, that's on you.
You're right.
That is your fault. If you skipped an intro without listening to it first, at least once, that's your fault. Because right off the bat, we talk about everything from like penis rings to actual medical stuff. Anyway.
Dismembered body parts. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's on you all. The CDC noted that people impacted by the outbreak had pet chickens and also frequently practiced snuggling and cuddling with them, as well as kissing them.
Well, I was just looking at your NPR link in the prep.
Yeah.
How chicken owners brood over CDC advice not to don't cuss at your chickens. Don't kiss them. Kiss and cuddle.
Okay,
and one lady chicken. Is talking about, but she just loves sticking her head under my arm.
Oh, God. Well, first of all, I got a quote. So Megan Nichols, a veterinary with the CDC, this has got to be a pain. So here's the thing. If you're Megan Nichols, I'm going to guess if you're speaking on behalf of the CDC, you're kind of a hot shit veterinarian. You're not, you know, you're Megan fucking Nichols at this point. I think that's probably how you introduce yourself. And yet you have to write the following. We do not recommend snuggling or kissing the birds or touching them with your mouth.
Do you think whenever they were writing that, she's like, I can't believe I have to say this. But
yeah. Oh no. Exactly. Or she's probably sitting there. Someone's probably like, "Hey, Megan, this would mean a lot more coming from you. Can you write this?" Yeah. What is it, Bob? And then she looks at it, and then she's like, looks at Bob the intern. Are you fucking serious? Yeah, I am. So here's the thing,
Bob. You're just going back to getting coffee, okay?
So yeah, Bob, get out of here. So one of the things, there's a family we're going to talk a little bit about them, the Matkes or Matkes. Anyway, they live in Washington D.C., not Portland, Oregon, which I think Mark and I both kind of banked on. They live in Washington D.C. These are the Matkes, and this is just some excerpts from the NPR article. Quote: "This is my favorite, Caledonia."
Real quick, the chickens are named Lucky, Godiva, Fisbee, Raven, and Pearl.
Yeah, and these are not, yeah, you don't name your animal. Like if the chicken's name were like Cluck and Spot, and then be like, oh, that's funny. These are things.
I know a guy who has a couple cows. I'm like, do you name them? He goes, oh, no, you do not name dinner.
Yeah, no, you don't. So these chickens are not becoming dinner. But let's just listen to this here. This is my favorite, Caledonia. Lynette Matke says that she holds, as she holds, a sturdy black and white barred rock hen. And white barred rock hen? Oh, barred rock hen. I think it's like a breed of chicken.
Maybe it's also a type of music, barred rock.
Yeah, I could go for that.
That's where your bards and your D&D group go kind of heavy metal.
I kind of listened to barred rock before everyone else listened to barred rock.
Yeah. Back when it was sure barred rock, when barred rock wasn't cool.
Yeah, back when it was more underground. Now we've brought this to Portland right there. I think she's...
Well, most barred rock is sold out at this point.
Oh, yeah, really? And they're in it for the bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my favorite line. In clear defiance of the new CDC guidance issued this month against chicken/human cuddling, Caledonia is a snuggler. That's what Chris
reminds me of.
What?
Not 1 ounce of compromise.
Oh, God. So one time Mark and I... This is going to be a squirrely episode. The premise was not good from the get-go. So if you're here... Just
for like legitimate information, you will get that
later.
There's just going to be a lot of bullshit to sift through to get to.
So one time Mark and I were driving by and we saw, and I hope this doesn't kill our ability to advertise for Coors Light in the future.
Oh, well, never mind.
Nope, no, I'm pulling out there. Coors Light.
I was just good.
Don't care. Here's my opinion on Coors Light. We saw a sign and it said, it had a picture of a 12 ounce can and it said, not 1 ounce of compromise. And I'm like, bullshit. That is 12 ounces of compromise. You have.
I came at it from the direction of, when have they ever been asked to compromise anything in their beer?
Very true. Yeah. Like I said, it was in there being like, yeah, you got to make some cuts. But no, like if you're drinking Coors Light,
We're going to have to use less Spring Mountain water. I'm sorry.
Got to replace that with just water. Tap water.
Yeah, Mountain Spring water.
But you know, if you're drinking Coors Light, like you are compromising. Like that's where you're at. The good beer is out, and that's the old.
It's the end of the night beer.
Yeah, it's the old fallback, or it's a shower beer the next morning. I'll give it that. But yeah, you're straight up compromising. That's of course. And I'm not saying that's not a bad position to be in. You need that fallback person, but that is Coors Light. And then we went on to how Mickey Mouse ran the company, and that goes downhill from there.
It really spirals. Really no good reason to jump between those two.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Oh, it's because my voice, the voice I do whenever I'm imitating somebody was always the same voice. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Like Mickey Mouse's voice?
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, because Mark was not 1 ounce of compromise.
Anyway, back to clearly defiance of the CDC.
Which is like on par. Like, I think when people are like, in defiance of Trump's order, we are going to go ahead and, you know, not... Right. We're going to open the board, something like that. This is in defiance. Yeah. We're cuddling our chickens. So Mackie says they're very careful about hygiene around the chickens, but she's more worried that some disease or predator might strike her flock than she is about catching something from the birds. So she is more worried about them than herself. Let's see. There's also some other stuff down here.
Well, there's also sometimes if she needs a little de-stress time, she'll bring a stool into the coop and sit with the hens.
Yeah.
They'll come up and jump up in my lap. They make peaceful farm noises.
Yeah. And then...
Do you think it's only chicken noises? Or do you think they've learned to imitate cows and pigs and stuff like that?
Yeah. No, exactly. So, this is Caledonia. Murr. You know, like that's what comes out. So like her mother, Elia, that is the daughter in this family, big fan of the birds. And she remembers when they got their first... This is great. Got their first mail order chicks just over a decade ago. Didn't know you could do this. Quote, they came in this little box. We were so excited that we kept them in hamster cages because they were so small. They were like this big, she says, holding out her cup palm. This cracks me up. I didn't know you could just be like just mail order pets.
Like and Amazon.
Like do you order five, really wanting four, knowing that, come on. Like,
there's going to be a certain, let's see here, just a second. Chicks.
Yeah, you research that because that is important. And here's the other thing, too. If we're talking about salmonella outbreaks, neighborhood Amazon. Kids of all ages come over to see the chickens to help collect the eggs. Some of the kids like to swing with the birds on the swing set.
You can buy them on Amazon.
Oh, God. The Mackeys even put out a swimming pool.
Amazon.com/SLP/live poultry. Oh, yeah. Live bird shipping boxes 10-pack. Hopefully that's the number of the boxes and not the actual chickens.
I would say it should be the chickens, because out of that, like, what, you're going to get 9? You know, call it good. Right. So anyway, the CDC, and this is another quote from the article, the CDC is arguing against this type of casual human-chicken fraternizing. While poultry do appear clean, they do carry bacteria, says CDC vet, again, Megan Nichols, who again...
Okay, real quick, I need to clarify something here.
Yep.
They're talking about little stuffed dolls.
Okay, yeah.
I clicked back from the actual page of, you know, the Google page and... Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyway, moving on.
Also, make sure your chickens don't come in the house. That's another thing that they're saying.
Right.
Yep. And it's funny because Megan Nichols, who to me is very clearly a CDC person, doesn't call them pets. She keeps calling them poultry.
However, of course, well, yeah, because that's just an important...
It's the important part about having a chicken.
I like how you put in the prep not to laugh too much at this point. I think we missed that part of the prep somehow.
Oh, we certainly did. So anyway, this brings us to the actual topic tonight. Why is kissing chickens so bad? As we mentioned earlier, it's salmonella. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, I was going to say there's many diseases, actually.
Right. But the one that prompted this article and that prompted the CDC to investigate is salmonella. And salmonella is super popular. But salmonella is a bacteria that is, by and large, mostly responsible for what we refer to as food poisoning. It's generally not dangerous, but it kind of can be. So we're going to talk about what it is exactly, how do people get it from the chickens, and how you can get it from anywhere else, and what does it do, and how is it treated, and how can you protect yourself? Step one, keep your fucking chickens outside. But step two is cook your food. So salmonella, like I said, is a bacteria. There are two main types of salmonella. You've got S. enterica, which is the one that warm-blooded animals contract, and S. bongori, which is present in reptiles. Pretty much, if you're a vertebrate, you have salmonella. It is all over the place. It is super prevalent in the world. And it's actually fairly tough in the sense that it reproduces very well. It reproduces rapidly. It's motile. What motile means is that it can move on its own accord. It does not require...
Then why wouldn't you say mobile?
Because motile is the word that the smart people used.
Got it.
Yeah. So, there you go. So it's motile, and that means motile, I believe, specifically means that it can move itself, versus mobile just means that it moves. So if you have a bacteria that relies on, let's say, other body processes to move around, it is mobile in the sense that it doesn't fix itself to a tissue, but it doesn't move on its own. Motile,
we discuss like
motile means like that it has like its own appendages and shit to move around,
capable of motion.
Well, because you can still be capable of motion without being able to move yourself.
Right. Zoology, botany, males produce small motile gametes.
I feel like we're really fixed on this word. All right. It's motile. It can move itself. It has flagella. Moving on. It can produce ATP, both aerobically and anaerobically, and is present in just about all vertebrates and many invertebrates, warm and cold-blooded. Fun story. Chances are you have salmonella in your intestines right now. You probably have a low level of it, but even if the level of salmonella is higher, most people don't even experience symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The salmonella would be shed with your feces before you ever noted. Yeah. Goes out with the poop.
Well, you know, most things do.
Right. Well, everything does, really. So, Salmonella enterica, the common type found in humans, actually breaks down into several different types itself. And the fun thing about it is that even if you contract one type, And there's actually many types of the Salmonella enterica produce no symptoms whatsoever. But even if you contract one type that doesn't necessarily produce symptoms, the bacteria can mutate into one of the other types that does. And it isn't clear what causes this mutation or why the bacteria would mutate from one to another, but it does occur and can lead from a hard limb, a harmless Salmonella enterica type to one that is lethal, though that's very rare. So, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. You're good.
Okay. I actually forgot what I was going to say. I was looking up Motel versus Mobile that whole time.
Like, why did he get quiet?
I was otherwise distracted.
Is it, that word just fucked your world, didn't it? Like, that's just right. Like, yeah, I'm doing good.
Well, I just, because I've heard it in like medical, like they talk about bowel motility.
Right.
And stuff like that. So I actually had them flipped in my head because I figured it was the bowel was having to move things along.
Oh, gotcha. Huh.
But according to the Goog, no. I was wrong.
Wait. No, yeah. No. We should call Google and let them know that they're probably wrong.
Apparently, Google.
Hey, Google, look, I know you guys got this right, but Mark was reading it the other day and didn't agree. And I'm like, oh, shit, we got to change it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll get this fixed immediately.
Exactly.
Have you ever Googled the word askew?
What's that?
Have you ever Googled the word askew?
No, I have not Googled it.
You should. It's pretty funny.
As it turns out, I don't know what it means. It's going to be one of those things.
No. It's so everything on there is normal, but the page is tilted just a little bit off the center, so it's askew.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
I am LOLing already. So anyway, most people notice that they have Salmonella when they develop symptoms, which makes sense.
Well, yeah, everybody knows about it then. I mean, come on.
Right. Well, I mean, unless you're randomly testing your poop, there's really not any other time you're going to notice it.
You don't?
Okay. I don't. Apparently, Mark does.
And now we have a little tidbit on why Mark's single.
No. It's like, do dates go really well until, like, you get to the end of the night?
And you're... I, like, want to test her poop at the end of the night.
You get to that moment, you get to the doorway, nice little kiss goodnight, and then you say, hey,
can you poop into this for me?
Hey, look, tomorrow I'm going to do my weekly poop testing. You know, I don't want to go alone. You want to?
Yeah, you want to drive?
Never again? Why are you calling the police? All right, I'm out. Because a good first date usually ends with the cops. Anyway, most people notice that they have Salmonella when they develop symptoms, right? So it typically happens when people ingest food that has been contaminated with the harmful Salmonella enterica serotype, which, by the way, is really hard not to read as stereotype in your head. Mm-hmm. And then I just imagine a bunch of Salmonella just being upset that they get stereotyped all the time.
Right.
Look, just because two strands of us cause diarrhea in 90% of the population.
We're all that way. We're not all bad.
We're not all going to give you the shits. So...
the bacteria hitches a ride on the food to get to the intestines where it sets up shop.
Really?
Now I just got a Fraggle Rock thing going in my head.
We reference Fraggle Rock a lot, and I don't ever want to stop. It's worth referencing.
It is. It was a great show.
Yeah.
I got the song going through my head right now.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
So basically, Esoterica serotype are the doozers.
Right. Here we go.
Building, setting up shop in your bowels. Raw or undercooked foods often are to blame for Salmonella.
Yeah.
Now, how long does that take?
After ingestion, it can happen anywhere. Most people get sick anywhere from within 6 to 72 hours of ingesting it. It can happen as soon as 2 hours after ingestion. It really depends on how much of the bacteria you ingest. It's highly dependent on that.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you obviously, if basically what it has to do, it has to have time to replicate to the point where it makes you sick.
Yeah.
So if you ingest a boatload of it, I saw a picture on Facebook of a lady who made medium rare chicken nuggets.
That's okay.
Yeah. You know, probably not a great idea. So, because one thing, as a paramedic, you'll talk to people. Man, I went and had lunch at this place the other day, and, you know, I walked home, and it takes me like 15 minutes to walk home, and I got such bad food poisoning. Most food poisonings literally take 6 to 8 hours to start hurting you.
Yeah.
Except in special instances. In fact, if you get food, there is like one type of food poisoning, I can't remember the name of it right now, that will hit you in about 30 minutes right before it kills you.
So, Jesus.
Oh yeah, it's yeah. If it
is this just cyanide in your food? Like, someone literally poisoned your food.
It reproduces so prolifically that it overwhelms your system. Your body doesn't have time to combat it.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, if you eat something and within half an hour you're puking or anything like that, something in the food just didn't agree with you.
Right.
An ingredient, you know, or something like that. But
yeah, because your body will reject things that it thinks is unhealthy. And like Mark said, it could be like maybe there's a spice that hits your stomach and your stomach's like, fuck this, and gets it out. That doesn't mean you have a bacterial infection.
The chicken kissers contracted salmonella the exact same way.
Yeah.
They kissed and snuggled with a chicken. And as much as we like to believe that fecal matter isn't everywhere, it is.
Yeah.
Especially on low to the ground animals with small brains that don't shower. I really got to read ahead on these things.
No, please don't, because it's why I put these things in here like this.
these little grenades in there every once in a while.
It's one of those things.
No, it's true. And I mean, because one thing I was going to bring up was the reason I knew that being around chickens a lot was a bad choice was because of histoplasmosis.
Right? Is that like a car? is that like an astrology thing? Or?
No. Histoplasmosis is the fecal matter of, like, if you're using chicken manure for gardening.
Yeah.
Or something like that. The chicken manure will actually can be infected with a fungus called Histoplasma capsulatum. Capsulata. You inhale the dust of the spores of the fungus. And it prefers, you know, this is H. capsulatum. It prefers moist, shady conditions and found in woods, caves, cellars, silos, and old chicken houses.
Does it want a family? Does it enjoy long walks on the beach? Or is it just want to have fun?
You can get super sick from this.
Yeah.
And it comes from inhaling not just chicken poop, the fungus that grows on chicken poop, which, I mean, you'd think would be super healthy, but apparently not.
Well, I grew up in a, I wouldn't call it a super rural area, but it was decently rural. And so a lot of my friends had chickens, like, for reason, like, we're turning them into nuggets later, like chickens, mm-hmm. or we're getting eggs from them, chickens. They're not snuggle chickens. They're not named either.
These are Friday night dinner chickens.
Yeah, exactly. They're not named. If they are named, it's extra crispy and original recipe. Right. Like, those are the names that they have.
Did you see that KFC is coming out with they're working with Beyond Meat to come out with a meatless chicken strip.
Oh, that'd be cool. But anyway, so and so my impression of chickens is I had a buddy who had these chickens, and it's just kind of one of the things, like, growing up around here is, like, if you go over and you stay at somebody's house, like, you're part of, like, you help with the chores because the chores have to be done every day. It's right. Not like
you're not getting out of work by just going to somebody else's house.
Yeah. In more urban living, there's just not as many chores to do. It's totally plausible to take a break from choring around your house to hang out. But if you have a lot of animals to take care of and there's barns to set up, you can't just stop because your friends came over. So if your friends came over, everyone was choring. Like, that's just, mm-hmm.
Well, that way you got done more quickly and then you could go hang out.
Yeah, more hands makes less work. And so I'm used to dealing with chickens on that front. And to me, like, they poop and it's a really disgusting smell and mm-hmm. they're just dirty animals. And so when people are like, oh, I like to snuggle them, I'm like, Jesus.
They will literally sit down anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like your dog. Your dog doesn't get picky about where it walks.
No.
You know, and so.
So lick his paws.
Yeah, that'll be the next CDC.
Right.
Stop looking at your dog's paws. But you know, yeah, it's the animals. They don't understand these things. They don't know that sitting in their own poop is bad for you because it's not bad for them because their body's adapted to it.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, so
go ahead.
Oh, I say so. Small brains that don't shower. It's kind of interesting because sometimes I'm like, man, you know, I wish I would finish these things sooner so Mark would actually have a chance to read it. But then I'm like, but if he did
going into a clean.
Yeah. But if he did that, then like this wouldn't have the impact that it does.
Right.
But anyway, so salmonella, it's either going to go directly into the upper GI system of the human companion via the mouth because you kissed your fucking chicken, or it's going to wind up on your hands, which touches food and spreads bacteria that way.
And if you're doing this regularly, you're not going to be able to be clean. There's going to come a point where you cross-contaminate.
Well,
you're not going to think about it every single time you pick up and cuddle your your chicken, have it stick its head under your armpit, which is what one of the ladies was saying in that article.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. When you're talking about, like, if you're just grabbing a chicken and moving it, washing your hands probably gonna be sufficient. But if you're cuddling it and this chicken is on you and around you, you're getting that. So unless you are showering before you prepare any food for anyone or yourself.
And washing your clothes.
And washing your clothes. Yeah, the bacteria is going to be hanging out. So anyway, yeah, so like from there, the disease can be passed human to human, and then you have the makings of an outbreak. So great job, chicken kissers. So
something I never thought we'd hear. Something I never thought I'd hear you say on this show, Chris.
Which really, let's just go ahead. I mean, just rip that boundary away right now, because the shit that we say on this show.
Right.
Yeah, there's no limits.
It's pretty disturbing for the most part.
Yeah. You want to take the next paragraph there, in any case?
Oh, sure. I'll take the small paragraph. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I was going to say, just go from there.
In any case, a healthy adult must ingest a large amount of the bacteria, enough that it survives the stomach to make it to the intestines. So your stomach acid in your stomach is something of a defense for most diseases because it's inhospitable. Mm-hmm. It's just like canning. Why does you're using vinegar and salt when you're canning vegetables kill the diseases? It's inhospitable to the diseases at that point. I just got into canning in the last couple months, by the way. made some really good dilly beans, like pickled green beans.
Yeah?
Yeah, really, really good. They're all gone. In most cases, the body will eliminate the bacteria long before it becomes a serious issue. So, aside from multiply and spread, which what does the salmonella do once you get it? Well, you'll get loose stools, explosive diarrhea.
Wow.
That's just not diarrhea. Yeah, it's explosive.
Whenever I write the word...
If hasn't had explosive diarrhea in their past, it is not near as fun as it sounds.
I would disagree, but one of the things I want to point out is I wrote the word diarrhea today and I spelled it right the first time. And it just...
But it didn't look right.
No, it didn't, but I did. But I knew it was. And it was one of the things that... It's just a quote from a doctor. He was sitting there and he's taking a report from me, and it was a patient that was substantially hypovolemic and it had a lot of diarrhea. And all of a sudden he turns to me and he's kind of writing down little notes, and finally he looks, he's like, you know what? I consider myself a pretty good doctor. And he's like, I got a lot of school. He's like, but I could never spell diarrhea. For whatever reason, it just cracked me up. It's just like, yeah, I can't spell this word.
A little look into what's the word I'm looking for when you don't feel you're up to the task at times, you know.
You're not confident.
You're into his lack of confidence in spelling.
Right, exactly. anyway, but yeah, explosive diarrhea.
So you nailed it here. Usually spell checker at work corrects it for me because I've now gotten to the point where I start second guessing myself and I'll go back and change it because I think I'm wrong. And then it was right the first time.
Nice. A
little glimpse into my day.
Nice.
So loose stools, explosive diarrhea, not as fun as it sounds. You disagree. Nausea, vomiting. And again, projectile vomiting is possible.
Yeah.
What's the farthest you've seen somebody vomit?
The problem with that in our profession is there's kind of a limit, and it's basically the bounds of the ambulance. And so I don't know how far the barf would have gone, but I've seen barf that has hit ceilings. I've seen barf that has gone from the gurney and hit the back door. So,
Yeah,
it's, and it's usually someone who's trying to hold back the barf as long as they can. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, just lets loose, and then out it comes. And they'll keep their mouth closed, and then all of a sudden their oral cavity fills and it just bursts open, and it flies out their nose and it flies out their mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's just a shit show.
Mm-hmm. The longest I've seen was about 8 foot. How far do you think it's into the grain? Like 3 or 4 foot?
If
you're sitting up, probably about what, 4.5 foot to the end of the gurney.
Yeah, and then maybe another foot from there to the doors.
Well, this was outside.
Oh, gotcha.
This was an overdose patient, so this was kind of my fault.
Wow.
So whenever we have a patient who's overdosed recently, we give them what's called activated charcoal. This is literally charcoal in a suspension.
Yeah, and it depends on what they overdose on, but...
Right. Well, this was back in the 90s in Oklahoma where, just give it. What the hell?
Oh.
You know. Decided to give this. She took some pills within the last 30 minutes. Okay, we were fairly convinced she had taken them, that she hadn't vomited them back up. So I open up this bottle of activated charcoal. What do they call activated? Anyway, I go get a cup out of her kitchen, and I come back outside, and I pour the stuff into the cup, make it a little bit easier to drink than drinking it straight out of the bottle.
Yeah.
You have to shake it up really well to make sure all the charcoal is not stuck on the bottom of the bottle. And this cop, he's a new cop, he's in his FTO period, comes over, he's like, what is that? I'm like, it's activated charcoal. He's like, I understood that, but what is that? I mean, you're saying the words, and I understand the words, but it doesn't help at all.
Right.
So I show it to him. I kind of pour just a drop of it on my glove, and, you know, he had a glove on, so he's like, it's just like charcoal in an activated suspension.
See, I just imagine that he pour a drop of it onto your glove, he kind of grabs your finger, sticks it in his mouth, and...
makes a little heart.
Eats it. Eye contact the entire time.
Exactly. Stared me right in the eye.
All right.
So, anyway, I said, the thing about this stuff is you can't get this out of scrubs. And one of the reasons we were outside was because she had this beautiful, brand new white couch in her apartment. I'm like, there's this part of me that can't let you vomit this stuff all over your couch because it will ruin that couch. Because... it stains everything. Mm-hmm. You cannot get it out. And I told him this. I'm like, you can't get out of anything. So anyway, I hand the lady the stuff. She drinks the whole, which is the whole bottle, which is, you know, the whole cup and everything like that. And my partner is standing at the end of the gurney. And we're like, how you doing? And she looks at me and both my partner at the same time, just like, shit. And we move out of the way.
Yeah.
Just quickly to the side, right? This cop is standing behind us a couple feet. What's going on? She just hits him right in the chest with this, literally 7-8 foot away.
God damn.
Yeah. And he's like, oh my God. And his FTO is cracking up laughing.
Right? Yeah.
And he's like, oh my God, how do I get this out of my shirt? I'm like, you're going to have to buy, you know, that shirt's done.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, we have to buy our own uniforms, replacements. I'm like, I told you can't get out of anything. His FTO is over there just dying laughing. He goes, man, you just learned an important lesson. If the medics are running, get the hell out of there because it ain't good. If the medics don't want to see it, yeah, you don't want any part of it. So, yeah, he was pretty upset about that.
Oh, well, he learned a lesson.
Yes. So, fever.
Yep.
Cramps, chills, headache, and bloody stool.
Bloody hell.
Bloody. The bacteria will cause inflammation in the intestinal tract, which is responsible for most of the symptoms. The inflammation will prevent the reuptake. Ooh. So my computer shows that you spelt that wrong.
I did.
What are my options? Oh, no hyphen. There we go. Fix it for you. Because this one-time usage,
really,
nobody else is ever going to read. Definitely, I should have taken care of that. Oh, look, you did it twice.
Good radio.
The inflammation will prevent the reuptake of water, causing diarrhea. So this is actually somewhat good for us as humans, because as increased bowel movements will help shed the excess bacteria, but there's a downside.
Right, and the reason you have an increased bowel movement is just because the water that would normally be reabsorbed in the intestine is no longer reabsorbed.
Right. And the problem is, I mean, a couple problems come from that, and I'm sure you'll get into it the next paragraph, is then you're losing that water.
Exactly.
You know, so reuptake basically means that the water that has yet to be absorbed in your body is being absorbed now in the intestines before it goes to, is what? Being absorbed now in the intestines before it goes to waste.
Yes.
Hmm. Is that second absorbed right? Anyway, it doesn't go into your bloodstream.
I'm worrying about spelling.
No, man. I was going for grammar on that one.
Oh.
So basically, it's staying in your intestines. And then this does aid with the expulsion of bacteria, but also means the victim will rapidly dehydrate. And if it gets bad enough, it will actually pull water from your bloodstream back into your intestines.
Yeah, exactly.
So without the reuptake... don't ignore these clicks coming up of the water. People need to drink more water in order to replace what the intestine cannot. If this isn't done, patients become hypovolemic. And yes, you can, especially the elderly and the young, can very quickly become dehydration from nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea. A condition that we talk about in our shock episode.
Yeah.
Talk about shock. So shock is Go ahead, Chris.
So Shaq is basically whenever, for whatever reason, your body is unable to perfuse your organs with blood, oxygenated blood. And typically this happens due to an imbalance. Mark and I have talked about this before. Your body's ability to move blood is based on a pump, which is the heart, the fluid within your, well, better way to put it, so you have the pump, which is the heart, then you have the container, which is your vasculature, your arteries and your veins, and then you have the fluid within that container. And if there's something wrong with any one of those three things, you can go into shock. So for example, what is happening in this condition, your body will not be able to maintain an adequate blood pressure because you need a certain amount of pressure to get blood to your all your organs. It can't maintain that blood pressure because you've lost so much fluid through your colon, through diarrhea, that you don't have a sufficient volume of fluid for your body to push around. Other things that can happen that would cause you to go into shock is there's a problem with the pump, like a heart attack, so it doesn't pump the way it should. Or, you know, in the case of what we'd call neurogenic shock, you can have an injury to your spine that causes all of your vasculature, such as your veins, to dilate. And then the container becomes so big that your heart cannot pump the fluid that you have around hard enough to fill that space so it doesn't go where it has to go. So that is shock. And people can become hypovolemic in the case of losing too much fluid through diarrhea, that they become shocky. And that can be lethal.
Right. Absolutely. Again, especially in the elderly and the young.
Yeah. Or
they can't handle huge variations in the mechanics of their body. Yeah,
or the immunocompromised, people with HIV or people who are on medication that compromises their immune system.
Yeah. Cancer patients such as dialysis patients.
Yep.
Patients with congestive heart failure, which are usually elderly, they're usually on a fluid restriction, so they can only take in so much fluid every day. And then you start just pooping it all out, and you tip that balance very, very quickly.
Right.
But if someone is hydrated, they're unlikely to have any major complications other than, you know, the three-step memes. It's not really something that needs treatment outside of rest and water. When you should seek medical attention is when you're not able to keep down the water. So you're not able to replenish those fluids.
Right.
You know, and, you know, going to an emergency room, you know, having a family member go to your emergency room, taking the emergency room, you know, they can replenish those through an IV. So you don't have to, if you're vomiting as well as having diarrhea, you know, then they can replenish that fluid.
Yeah.
So got a call a while back and came down as like, five people in this house are, you know, really sick. And, you know, God love our 911 center, our PSAP, but sometimes they really go worst case scenario.
Oh, yeah.
On stuff, right?
PSAP, by the way, is a dispatch center. When you call 911, that's who you're talking
public
to.
Public safety access point.
Yeah. So when you call 911, that's who you're talking to.
Yeah. PSAP. Peace out, man. So, so they call it, they're like, five patients. Oh my God. They light up like half the county. I'm first on scene and I walk out and we pull up. I'm looking out the passenger side window and there's like a bunch of kids and a dad like staring out the front window, like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, this may not be the end of the, this may not be as apocalyptic as it was made out to be on the radio. So, what happened was they had the kids, they had a stomach bug running through the family, right? School had just started, happens every year. You know, kids are bug monsters whenever they go back to school. Everybody gets sick usually at the beginning of the school year. So from about 9 or 10 all the way down to like infant, the infant had not had it. The older ones had. The parents had had it. Well, they'd been on the phone, off the phone with the doctor over the last couple of days and, you know, doing everything like that. Well, the doctor said, well, you know, it's time. Let's get to that point. Let's go to the emergency room. Let's make sure everybody's good. So they said, we're going to call you a cab. Okay. Well, there's a running joke in EMS that we're cabs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know. So I get on scene. I walk up. I start talking to him and I cancel everybody except for the second unit.
Yeah.
And so I start talking to him, and basically, I mean, one kid's like hopping around the house, you know, full of energy, stuff like that. I'm like, okay, well, I think what happened was they called a cab company, and the cab company's like, five kids and two adults who have extreme diarrhea. That's a hard pass. So then the only other option that the doctor's office had was to call 911 and get ambulances over there. So that's what I think of when having your family member take you to the hospital.
Right.
So, you know, weigh the chances of, you know, you pooping all over their car.
So there are lethal serotypes of salmonella. Now, by and large, salmonella is never going to be lethal. But not, I'm not going to say, you know, not never, but most of the time it's not going to be lethal. But there is a version of it that is awful and lethal. So in sub-Saharan Africa, there is a type called Salmonella typhermium. And it is it is a serotype. I actually YouTubed it and listened to a British guy pronounce it, so that's what I did. But anyway, it's a serotype of salmonella that does not cause GI symptoms, but rather will be it'll be present in the bloodstream, and it causes an assortment of symptoms. It must be aggressively treated with antibiotics, and patients often become dehydrated and shocky quite quickly. Salmonella stop changing the damn thing. That's just a different word now. I spelled it right before. Now you just changed it to the word that Google thought it should be. It's just wrong. Anyway, I'm changing this to where you have Rita Ongle. That's what I'm going to do. All right. Anyway, so it often becomes dehydrated and shocky quite quickly. This particular form of salmonella has a 20 to 25% mortality rate.
Motility rate?
No, mortality rate.
Got it.
Do you want to go Google the shit out of that word too? Or are we... So if you think about it, 1 in 5 to 1 in 4 people that get this will die. And there are not a lot of diseases like that. This is a pretty serious disease. It pretty much only happens in that specific area of Africa. And a lot of its mortality is attributed to that being a particularly impoverished area without access to good medical care. But this is actually...
Well, yeah, I mean, it says it has to be treated aggressively with antibiotics. And I'm sure it's not just a quick jaunt down to the doctor's office or the local hospital. No,
you are hospitalized for this and you need to have it. And if you don't have a lot of hospitals nearby and those hospitals don't have a lot of antibiotic to go around, then you're going to have a problem. Right. The other thing about it too is, so what this will cause, and the reason this one is so lethal, is while your typical salmonella causes inflammation in your intestines, this will cause a sort of inflammation of your vasculature itself. It almost causes a global phlebitis, meaning an inflammation of your phlebs, which is your veins. It causes like a global phlebitis. And earlier, you know, Mark and I just talked about how you've got the pump, the container, in the fluid. So whereas your typical salmonella will drain the fluid, this one will affect the container. So that is why this one is so so lethal. So they also have typhoidal salmonella. So just to quote Wikipedia on this, and we'll just kind of get through this part. Typhoid fever is caused by salmonella serotypes that are strictly adapted to humans or higher primates. These include salmonella typhi, paratyphi A, paratyphi B, and paratyphi C. Paratyphi D was left out. In the systemic form of the disease.
It's the paratyphi that never got picked for teams.
Yeah, pretty much. Kid, you know? Yeah. Started his own AV club, and he's like the only one in it. Right. Has meetings anyway, though. Like, he's the president and the treasurer. It
was the renting out of the restaurant for the Christmas banquet that was really sad.
Right, exactly. I think the saddest part was the fact that he ran for treasurer as the only person in his club and lost the election. That was the worst part.
Well, he just didn't believe it. He just didn't believe the person's platform enough to be able to vote for him.
Right, and you really got to be able to get behind that, especially when it comes to control. Okay, moving on. Systemic form of the disease, Salmonellae passed through the lymphatic system of the intestine into the blood of the patients. That's the typhoid form, and is carried to various organs, their liver, spleen, kidneys, and that's going to form secondary foci, And when it has the secondary foci, these are essentially other production sites of the disease. And this is, once you have that, it's considered the septic form of typhoid salmonella. Endotoxins first act on the vasculature and nervous apparatus, resulting in increased permeability and decreased tone of the vessel. So like we mentioned earlier when we talked about the type of salmonella that you're seeing in sub-Saharan Africa, this is sort of the same thing. You're seeing an attack on the container of those three parts. It's going to upset your thermoregulation. It's going to induce vomiting and diarrhea. In severe forms of disease, enough liquid electrolytes are lost to upset water salt metabolism, decrease circulating blood volume and arterial pressure, and can cause hypovolemic shock. Septic shock may also develop. Shock of mixed character, which that just sounds like a guy you can't trust.
He can be, he's a nice guy, but sometimes just a jackass.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed character there. But anyway, besides both hypovolemic and septic shock, is more common in severe salmonellosis. Oliguria and azotemia may develop in severe cases as a result of renal involvement. Renal involvement due to hypoxia and toxemia. Hypoxia means lack of oxygen in the blood. Toxemia means presence of toxins in the blood.
What does oliguria mean?
I don't know. I was kind of skipping that one. Hey, why don't you Google the shit out of that word? See, there's a word that we don't even know what it means. Why don't you go for that, Mark?
Because you spelled it right. I know. Or hypouresis. Oh, do you know what that means?
That means not peeing enough.
Mm-hmm. Low urinary output. Specifically, more than 80 mils, but less than 400.
And that's oliguria? Mm-hmm. Okay, what about azotemia?
That was my next one I was going to check. Where'd it go? Define. Define.
I love the internet these days.
Define. Let's see. Is a medical condition characterized by an abnormally high levels of nitrogen-containing compounds, such as urea, creatinine, and various body waste compounds and other nitrogen-rich compounds in the blood.
Okay, so that's what I thought.
I didn't want to say it because I wasn't 100%, but I was like high 90s, you know. Yeah. Is largely related to insufficient or dysfunctional filtering of the blood by the kidneys.
Yeah.
There you go.
So how do you treat this shit? Sorry.
We've all learned something today.
In most cases, you actually don't need to treat it outside of taking over-the-counter medications to treat your aches and pains, drinking water, and getting rest.
Drinking watered-down Gatorade.
Yeah. Just
or Pedialyte, something to give you electrolytes and stuff like that.
Yeah, because those things you're all going to lose right out your butt when this happens. Mm-hmm. So, typically you really don't need to treat this. Most cases, you'll be fine. But the primary risks that are associated with most cases of salmonella are those that are the very young, the very old, or the immunocompromised. Dehydration resulting in shock is the main risk and easily managed by drinking water in most cases. But even in cases where the patient is hospitalized, typically they get IV fluids. And typically, that's all that's needed. Only the most severe infections or compromised patients are going to require the antibiotic treatments. So, by and large, caring for a salmonella infection is supportive care. And there's really not a lot. Because Mark and I have actually talked about, you don't, just because you can treat something with an antibiotic does not mean you should.
No.
And in a lot of cases, you're just going to make things worse with an antibiotic. If you are able to get rid of it.
Overtreating with antibiotics is why we have MRSA.
Yeah, exactly.
And VRE. Is it VRE?
Yeah, because what ends up happening. So when you give an antibiotic, the thing that people don't realize, bacteria mutates really, really quick all the time. I mean, when you get a bacterial infection, one bacteria to another in that same infection are going to have slightly different traits from each other. Just like people.
They're the chameleons of the microscopic world.
Yeah, just like people. Just like people, except whereas people take, you know, generations to multiply, bacteria will do it in hours. And so what you end up with is kind of this neat little survival of the fittest that goes on at all times. So if you throw an antibiotic in there, the antibiotic is going to wipe out most of that bacteria, but not all. And the ones that are left behind are the strongest. And then that strongest, like we just said, they will multiply in hours. You may end up leaving the strongest to multiply. And that's how you get...
Well, it's one of the problems with having hand sanitizer stuff everywhere is that you're leaving behind, it'll kill 99.9% of germs. Great, so we're leaving behind the 0.1% of the strongest germs to multiply again.
So we got to be careful when we treat. Just throwing, and it's kind of one of the things that I'm Chris's thoughts on society. It's kind of one of those things that I think are...
Uh-oh, we're going existential.
I think a lot of our overuse of antibiotics first came from a little bit of a lack of knowledge. I think it was just, oh, antibiotics are cool. They treat things so well. Let's just start giving them. And I get that. But I also...
And real quick, if you want to hear more about that, we do have a viral versus...
Yeah.
Infection episode, which explains differences and why it's not good to use antibiotics for everything. Right.
And hey, sometimes you need them. Sometimes the choice is antibiotic or die. I get it. Use the antibiotic. Mm-hmm. But if the choice is antibiotic or be uncomfortable for a few days, be uncomfortable for a few days. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of why we use antibiotics to the degree that we do, is that we've kind of run into a society where being uncomfortable isn't acceptable. And that, I think... buck up is, I guess, what I want to say.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of societal pressure to not be out for a couple of days or a week.
That's very true.
I can't miss work. I can't, you know, I...
That's very true. I'll give people the benefit of the doubt. It's because they work so hard that they don't want to miss work.
Well, no, I'm...
you actually could be right. I actually need to... that's actually...
I'm trying to contribute to the conversation.
I know. And you're actually doing a good job. You've actually made me change my mind slightly. And you know how hard that is.
It is very hard. Yeah. No, I'm just saying is that, I mean, we've set up our society, especially here in America, where downtime is strange.
Downtime is looked down on.
Right. You know, how many people have you met through your career who are like, yeah, I got 300 hours of vacation.
Right.
You have 300 hours of vacation. Go take 200 of those and go do something, you know. And, you know, it's, the expectation a lot of times from society is that you're there and you're working and you're there every day. And if you're not going to be there every day and you violate something, you know, a company policy, then you could lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to be better now because I got to go to work. Yeah. I can't not go to work.
Yeah.
I need my new Apple Watch.
Yes. mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or my new Apple phone, because I got to get one every year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's better
every year. Because I have a new one every single year. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I guess...
Prevention.
Yeah, so prevention, I'm very well prepared for this section. So prevention pretty much comes in two forms we're going to talk about. One is avoidance. And the only reason we have to bring up avoidance now is because people are kissing their chickens. Here's the thing.
So you think they're going to get like awkward text messages from the chicken saying, look, why won't you talk to me?
Right.
I haven't seen you in a couple
days. Am I getting ghosted?
You
know? Chicken. Right.
Am I tonight's meal?
Exactly. Oh, this is bad news. This is bad news.
Well, they stop coming around. You know, you're on the chopping block. Prevention.
Look.
Avoidance. Don't look him in the eye when you go through the backyard, Martha.
Look, Mary, I know when you've come to the coop the last couple times, you've been more towards Diva's end of the coop and right. less from my end. You know, old Godiva could use a little snuggling too.
Can we just talk it out?
Yeah, can we just talk it out?
Or can we
just talk it out?
Just balk it out?
Can we just talk it over dinner? Wait, no. Hang on. Let me rephrase.
I'll have the salmon, please.
Exactly. Fish. So, yeah, fish is whatever he wants. Fish. Really, probably fucking chickens, cover those too.
I don't have a problem with people having chickens as pets in their backyard. But you got to understand, you know, they have to stay in the backyard in that coop area.
You know, and you got to not kiss them.
Don't snuggle them. They're not house pets. They're not like your dog.
Yeah.
Which you can get infections from your dog too, but the chance of you catching something that's, you know, truly going to kill you is pretty minimal.
Anyway, so prevention. So don't kiss animals that are going to be covered in feces because they're low to the ground with no brains.
They don't shower.
Yeah. Second is preparing food. This is why when you get your food handler's card, they tell you what range, you know, certain meats need to be cooked at. Like I believe beef is 165 degrees Fahrenheit in the middle. I want to say chicken is like 170, something like that. Go look it up. There's plenty of guides out there tell you what your food needs to be properly cooked at. But heating up food is the number one way to prevent salmonella contamination. Salmonella actually does pretty okay in cold environments. So, I mean, extreme cold, yeah, it'll die, but by and large, when you're freezing your food or putting it in a refrigerator, you are preventing a lot of bacteria, but salmonella is not one of them. Salmonella, it's going to reside in proteins and meats, and it needs to be cooked out. That's pretty much, and eggs, dairy products is another way, is another place that salmonella just loves to chill.
Do you want to know the temperatures?
Yeah, put a few out there.
Let's see, ground meats, be it whatever type, 160 degrees.
Oh, I was close. I was close.
That's just ground up meats.
Gotcha.
Fresh beef, veal, lamb, pork, deer, moose, elk, caribou steaks, chops, and roasts. Recommended minimum temperature, 145.
What I really like about that, someone says, all right, guys, let's get some common meats in there. And someone's like, hey, how about caribou steaks? I had a caribou steak last night.
Let's go. Where you come from? I had an intern from Alaska, and he was telling me how moose heart is actually a very tender, tasty meat.
I would not think it'd be tender at all, considering the heart muscle is typically very tough.
Yeah, no, he said that moose heart meat hamburgers were extremely tasty.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Medium, if you want them done to rare, 145, medium 160, well done 170. And then leftover cooked meats, 160, or safe to eat cold if properly cooled and stored. Poultry game birds, 165 across the board. Fish and shellfish, 145.
So I'd also like to notice that the birds on that list, higher temperature.
Yeah.
Talking 140s for your beef, so you get to the birds, those dirty little animals, you're at 165.
Dirty bird. fish and shellfish, 145. Rabbit, 160. Ham, 160.
Do you think your chicken like its feathers pulled? Never mind.
What?
Never.
So, yeah, those are, like you said, there's plenty of information online about proper temperature. So, please get a decent meat thermometer. And make sure your chicken is the proper temperature, or whatever you're eating is the proper temperature.
Yeah. All right. Well.
So,
Mark,
cook it properly. No snuggling. No allowing them into your house because they'll track this stuff into the house. So there's a possibility that if you allow your chickens to roam through your house, and the feces that's on their feet ends up in your house, and enough of it gets in there, then you could get the histoplasmosis from the fungus that grows on the feces.
Yeah.
In your house.
And nobody wants histoplasmosis.
Yeah, they're not indoor pets.
No, they're not. They're not pets.
Not, unless you're going to be defiant of the CDC.
In your face, CDC. These are probably people that's like, hey, do we want to go ahead and protest for a women's right to choose? Nah. It's like, okay, hey.
I'm more of a chicken snuggle protester person.
No, but I'm going to defy the CDC.
Right. Those bastards can't tell me not to snuggle my chicken. And I say that without it being a double entendre. I'm not using that as a euphemism for anything.
You're going to vape your CBD products with your chicken. Share the vape pen.
Start vaping my chicken juice.
Oh, God. No, keeping that in. That is a heck of an eat.
How come your bad stuff gets edited, but my bad stuff gets left?
Because I do the editing.
No, that's a good point.
You got anything else on chicken kissing or salmonella?
I didn't realize I had this much, actually.
No, exactly. It's kind of funny because this prep was kind of skimpy, but we managed to pull this out to an hour and we weren't even trying.
Oh, yeah. No. We could have gone much longer than this.
And exactly. We could have been stupider than we were.
Oh, our depths of stupidity and stupid conversation know no bounds. So, yeah. Hey, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for listening every week. Our numbers are doing great.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work. Spread the word. Bird is the word. Why not?
Bird.
If you want to get a hold of us, and please do, we've been getting a lot of emails, and I love them. I'm trying to keep up on all of them. If I missed yours, I apologize. But our email address, on Twitter, we're at Medical Stuff or MedSide Stuff. Jesus. Okay, so if you want to get a hold of us on social media, we're on Twitter at MedSide Stuff, MedSideStuff. We're on Instagram at MedicalStuff52, and we are on Facebook at Medical Stuff.
If you want to send us an email, please do. It's MedSideStuff@yahoo.com. And one thing I also like to mention, Mark, is I'm a little sad. Just a little bit. This is where you ask why I'm going for attention.
Oh, why?
Why am I so sad? Yes. Here's the thing.
Can I guess?
No. Okay, go for it. What's your guess?
your abysmal ability to smell. Oh, God damn it. Spell.
Yeah, I'm good. Good with that.
Chris, are you still there? Chris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of sad because it used to be that every now and again, we'd get like a request here and there for a topic and we'd leap on it and be like, yeah, we're going to do that. And we got that request for topic. It was nice because like pretty much everyone who put up a suggestion, like your episode was going to get on there. But So now it's nice that we get so many episodes and so many suggestions, but I almost feel bad for the people whose episodes don't make it.
Well, I've got a list. It may not be next week. It may not be next month, but we've got a list and we're going to hit a dry spell at some point.
Yeah.
And that list is going to keep, is going to save our ass.
So the key is listen indefinitely and eventually you may hear your episode.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
There you go. Well, Mark, with that, toast.
Toast.